We have a rare opportunity today to put questions to one of Iran's most senior officials. We've just walked up to the gates of the Foreign Ministry, this big yellow brick compound in central Tehran. We have had so many questions on the ground here in Iran about the anti-government protests that have rocked this country. Hundreds of people have been killed. We also have questions about Iran's relations with the rest of the world. And today, Iran's top diplomat, that is the foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, has agreed to take our questions. Once inside, we climbed from one waiting area to the next, and finally settled inside a cavernous meeting room, a giant map of Iran and the region above us. What you are about to hear is Amir Abdollahian speaking through an interpreter. We have edited for concision and clarity. We have not internally edited his answers. I'll start with the news. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei has announced he is pardoning tens of thousands of people arrested in the anti-government protests. Why and why now?
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, at this very outset, allow me to point out that when you say tens of thousands have been detained, well, this is not exactly accurate. And this I say categorically. First of all, no student whatsoever was detained at the universities or premises of the universities during the riots. In fact, those who were detained were people who played a role in the riots on the streets. That being said, hundreds were carried away, and on that basis, they acted in riots. On the occasion of the victory of the Islamic revolution, these people, hundreds of people who have been detained, were pardoned. The supreme leader of the Islamic revolution pays special attention to the issue of clemency and mercy. And therefore, the decree is to release all these detainees, save for those who have committed murder or other serious crimes.
The number that I cited, tens of thousands of people being pardoned, is the one that was cited by Iranian state media. And the number of thousands of protesters being detained is not mine. That is coming from human rights groups and from the United Nations, which is estimating that thousands of people here have been detained since September. Hundreds of people have been killed and four people executed.
I guess we see some sort of overstatement in these figures. Even if it has been said by human rights groups. The number of those killed during the riots have also been played up. You see something important played out during the riots. Despite high tension during the riots, the police were not allowed to carry firearms. However, American and Israeli armament came through from some of our neighboring countries with little stability. Now, what they did was to wreak havoc amongst the mobs and masses, and in fact resorted to the armament in question.
I want to follow up on what you're saying about weapons and the role that the U.S. you are alleging played, but it strikes me that we are citing different numbers of what happened, of how many were killed. And it strikes me that part of the challenge may be that journalists have not been able to freely cover these protests. The Committee to Protect Journalists says 93 journalists have been detained in Iran. That is as of January. Another journalist, Elnaz Mohammadi, was arrested on Sunday. Why are journalists here in Iran being prevented from doing their jobs?
We cannot confirm the detention of journalists in Iran. It's very easy to relabel the person who has been detained. You could at any moment call that person in question a defendant of human rights, a journalist, among others.
93 and counting? It's a lot.
No journalist was detained during riots. You see, just 2 weeks ago, something happened in Iran. A scammer was to flee Iran. What he did in order to help his escape was to post videos on social media claiming that he was a protester, that he was subjected to torture. But in fact, he was a scammer and a fraudulent person. And at the end of the day, it turned out that he was frightened. He was arrested by the police. You see, the West has carefully and meticulously targeted the riots. Allow me to ask this question to you. You see, there was a lot of maneuver on Mahsa Amini by Western media. But when it comes to Shirin Abu Aghla, did they really cover her?
Forgive me. I will ask the questions.
Killed by the Israeli police.
I will ask the questions. And I will just, to end the questioning about journalists, I will say journalists who have been detained and now released on bond are confirming that they are journalists and they were detained in these protests. But you mentioned the role that you believe the U.S. has played. In our time in Iran, we have interviewed many people now and asked them why they are angry. They cite repression, they cite inequality, they cite economic mismanagement. We asked one young man, who do you blame for your problems? He said the regime. Your government, not the United States. To the young man who blames the regime for his problems, you say what?
First of all, it's not a regime. In Iran, we have a sovereign, legitimate, and legal government. And therefore, I would like to urge that you also use the correct words.
I was quoting someone directly who was speaking to me.
But the people in Iran don't speak like that. Anyway, we admit that there are problems in Iran, just like elsewhere in the world. Back in September, when I was in New York, I happened to have the opportunity to roam about a little bit in New York and see the underground stations past midnight. I, in fact, talked to some of the citizens. And the responses I got from American nationals were worse than the response that you got from that Iranian man. And therefore, it pretty much depends on which population sample you choose for your interviews. This constitutes an important part of democracy in Iran. People can freely voice their ideas.
When I sat down this week with the foreign minister of Iran, he made the following remarkable observation, that people here in Iran can, quote, freely voice their ideas. That would come as news to the thousands of people who have been detained these last few months in anti-government protests. We aired that statement yesterday in the first part of my conversation with Iran's top diplomat, Hossein Amir Abdollahian. Today, part two, where we pushed him on it.
We have been talking to people in many parts of Tehran, many lines of work, young, old. Almost all of them were frightened to speak. They were frightened to speak to a journalist. They are frightened to criticize the government. They are frightened to speak out. Moving on from that, let me ask about the internet here. Why is the internet restricted in Iran?
First of all, I don't think that anyone is really frightened to interview with you. I guess this is a wrong impression of yours. The very presence of yourself here in Iran, interviewing people freely, is a testament to freedom here.
People told us this repeatedly, and when we asked to interview them, they pointed up and pointed at cameras. They're watching.
Then you could interview them on a blind spot. But let's move on to the internet.
Yes.
You see, when the situation gets critical, when there are security concerns, when there are threats of terrorist acts, and when people have been targeted, it is only too natural for us to do everything that that we can, the police and the security organizations. You see, during the raid to the U.S. Congress, even the former U.S. president was banned from Twitter. What proportion really is there when we were talking about freedom and banning the first person in command in the U.S. from the internet.
President, if I may, President Trump was banned by Twitter, not by the U.S. government. Are you acknowledging that your government is restricting and slowing down the internet here?
But Twitter is controlled by the government, and it, in fact, banning President Trump was at the order of the government.
It's a private company. It is not controlled by the U.S. government.
Of course, we're no friends to Trump.
We interviewed one young woman last night. She tried to show me her Instagram feed on her phone. It doesn't load. She tries. She told us, she believes this is to prevent her and others from telling the world what is happening here. Is that true?
Instagram is restricted in Iran. True. This is so because during the riots, Instagram promoted and, in fact, trained people how to make Molotov cocktails and other instruments of terror. And therefore, it trampled the very policies it set for itself. Should Instagram agree with our terms in Iran if they establish an office here and succumb to our rules and regulations? They can operate freely.
Recent events here are shaping how the rest of the world views Iran, which is why I put questions about them to Amir Abdullahian. But after more than 25 minutes of back and forth, as he spoke through his interpreter, he pointed out that he is the foreign minister. And why weren't we asking him questions about foreign policy? So we did.
The nuclear deal, the JCPOA, is it dead?
Americans keep sending us messages. But in fact, they have adopted some sort of a hypocritical behavior. On the one hand, we keep receiving messages from Rob Malley and Blinken. We receive foreign ministers, and they, in fact, give us and forward us the messages from Americans. From the messages we receive, I can say that the Americans insist that we push forward until we can finalize a deal. Concurrently, however, they say different things when they appear on media. In fact, I sent a message to be forwarded to the American authorities asking, why have you adopted a hypocritical behavior?
Who did you send the message to? How do you communicate?
To Mr. Blinken, of course, through one of the foreign ministers.
Our Secretary of State.
I asked the question, why hypocrisy? If you want to return to the deal, why do you say one thing to the media and the other through our diplomatic exchanges?
So you would like a more consistent message, and you believe you're not getting it from the United States. The head of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, says that Iran has now amassed enough highly enriched uranium to build several nuclear weapons, his words. Will Iran build nuclear weapons?
We have high capabilities when it comes to peaceful nuclear energy. In order to respond to wrong American behavior and within the framework of reciprocity, we leveled up our nuclear activities. However, when it comes to our beliefs and values, we do not pursue the making of a nuclear bomb.
By now, we had already spoken for longer than our agreed time with the foreign minister, but I also wanted to ask about the status of Americans here.
Iran has released Bakr Namazi, an American citizen who was imprisoned here in Iran. His son Siamak is still being held here. Is there hope for his release and the other American citizens detained here?
Yes, in fact, we agreed with the Americans on this. So the agreement has been in place ever since March. The exchange of prisoners is a humanitarian thing, after all. Back in March, Americans even dispatched their representative, who was a UK national, to Iran. Less than 2 months ago, their representative was in Iran again. The agreement is on the table. There are technical steps to be taken by the American side. And even there, I see some sort of confusion in America. They put it off for tomorrow, for the next week, but we have every readiness to do that. We are ready to do this within the framework of the minutes of an agreement, which was formed through the participation of a third party as well. In fact, we agreed with the American side so that the Americans would introduce a representative. They did, and it was a UK official. The representative in question was in Iran in the past weeks, and we updated the agreement that we had back in March. We're ready to exchange our prisoners, but there are technical steps that need to be taken by the Americans. We are awaiting the technical steps to be taken.
The foreign minister did not elaborate on what the steps are. Here is how our interview ended.
I wish you a pleasant stay here in Iran. There are very few cameras on the streets in Iran. I don't know where you have been and where you conducted your interviews with people. People in Iran are free and they express themselves quite freely.
I am glad to be in Iran. I appreciate your taking our questions. And I did see many cameras. But the broader point is that we are glad to be here speaking with Iranians and hearing what is on people's minds.
Hossein Amir Abdollahian, Foreign Minister of Iran.